You probably haven't thought about Kickstarter in years, but there was a time when it felt like the future. Every day, another wild invention going viral, raising millions and landing on front page news. But now, Kickstarter seems to be dying. It seems like everyone forgot about the platform altogether. What happened to Kickstarter? But first, why does Kickstarter even exist? In the earlier days of the internet, people began to realize how far your reach could go, and how people across the world could come together on one thing. This was crowdsourcing, but it doesn't just have to be money. Anything and everything where lots of users contribute to one idea, platform, or goal is crowdsourcing. Open source software like Linux is technically crowdsourced. Crowdsourcing at its core is actually a great thing, but then we get to Kickstarter. Kickstarter seems revolutionary. Everyday people with an idea create a prototype that solves a problem of theirs, make a page, get funding with crowdfunding, sell their product, and potentially make a fortune while solving a huge problem. It was very grassroots. You would set a funding goal with different rewards at different price points. Then customers back the campaign to try to get it over the line. If it does, they pay and get the reward. If it doesn't, they don't get charged. Seems low risk, high reward, right? But how does Kickstarter make money? Well, it's surprisingly simple. It takes 5% of funding from successful Kickstarters. That's it. I think platforms like Kickstarter are a net positive. You lower barriers to starting a business, you empower everyday entrepreneurs, bring more competition, and give everyday people more opportunities. And that's exactly what happened. Successful Kickstarters of great products started popping up everywhere and for anything. Technology, video games, comic books, drones, footwear, nonprofits, anything and everything. For a while, Kickstarter was the way to get your business off the ground, but this whole Kickstarter phenomenon was slowly casting a long shadow. There was a dark secret hidden in the platform, and by the time backers found it, it was too late. Unlike Kickstarter, an example of when crowdfunding actually went right is Proton. That's why I use ProtonPass, today's sponsor. ProtonPass is a fully encrypted password manager made by the same privacy-first team that built ProtonMail and ProtonVPN. No ads, no trackers, no selling your data. Just real Swiss-built security funded by the people who actually use it. For years, I was guilty of the same bad habit most people have. Recycling these same weak passwords with tiny tweaks. I knew it was dumb, but actually fixing it always felt like a headache. ProtonPass solved that instantly. I set one strong master password and it takes care of the rest. Generating secure logins, autofilling them, storing credit cards, syncing across devices, even handling 2FA codes without bouncing between apps. My favorite feature? Hide my email. It lets you create disposable email aliases instead of handing out your real email. So if a site gets breached or starts flooding your inbox, you can just kill that alias and walk away. No cleanup, no exposure. Start browsing securely from anywhere. Use the link in my description to check out ProtonPass for a safer, faster, and more open internet. Thank you to Proton for supporting our videos. For every one great Kickstarter, it seemed like there were 5 terrible ones. Of course, that's the nature of business. Most business ideas aren't good, but Kickstarter was different. Many of the most problematic campaigns seem to come from great ideas, which brings us to one very important Kickstarter project.
That's the sound of a cooler coming down off the shelf. It's the sound of imminent fun. So why haven't cooler designs changed in almost 50 years? So I created the coolest.
It was called the Coolest Cooler. In a nutshell, it was the all-in-one beach cooler bin, and on the surface, it seemed like the perfect product. A massive space for drinks and food, a waterproof speaker, a USB charger, a chopping board, heavy-duty wheels, an LED light, and a blender on top. And that's not even the full list. It was called the Party in a Box, perfect for the perfect beach, party, or getaway product, and it was the brainchild of Ryan Grepper. And saying this thing was popular would be a colossal understatement. This cooler was unstoppable. It quickly became the biggest Kickstarter in history and raised over $13 million, 266x the original goal. Seriously, the amount of news coverage this cooler got is absolutely wild. It sounds like the perfect product, so What's the problem? Well, it wasn't the cooler itself that was the problem. Rather, everything else. The enormous hype was part of the problem. If you backed early on Kickstarter, you could get the cooler for as little as $185 or even $165 if you were one of the first. At least, that's what customers thought. Ryan's original goal was just $50,000, yet he raised $13 million. The regular $185 tier had over 50,000 backers alone, and the scope of this product had exploded. Ryan's original goal meant he would have to produce about 300 coolers, but now he somehow had to make over 62,000. Even most existing businesses can't handle a jump like that, let alone a single entrepreneur, and the cracks began to show. The cooler was supposed to be delivered in February 2015, then it was pushed to July. Backers began to notice something was wrong. By November, thousands of coolers finally reached their destination, but there was a problem. Ryan still had tens of thousands to deliver. In March, Ryan admitted production had stopped, and to deliver the rest, he would need to raise another $15 million. Existing backers who hadn't received their order could pay another $97 to get their cooler faster. But keep in mind, many had been waiting almost 2 years by this point. Nonetheless, 10,000 took this option. Yet by September, customers were still waiting, and this brought the attention of the Oregon Department of Justice, who began to investigate. Then, in December 2019, Ryan's company Grepper and Coolist ceased operations. Over 20,000 backers didn't receive a cooler, though they were told they could claim a refund of $20. Even today, over 10 years later and 7 years since the last update, backers are still posting their angry comments asking for updates on their cooler. Unfortunately, I don't think they'll be getting any answers. The Coolist cooler is the poster child of Kickstarter campaigns. Some good ideas, at least on paper, but with terrible execution. While lowering business barriers is good, it does come with a downside. Many of these campaigns are started by people with no manufacturing experience. And the Coolist cooler is just the tip of the iceberg. The Xano drone raised over 2.3 million pounds, but only delivered about 600 faulty drones before the company went bankrupt. The Tico 3D printer pulled in nearly $2.9 million, yet shipped just a handful of its unibody printers before shutting down. Oya raised $8.6 million for an Android console, but was soon discontinued. But it gets worse. These campaigns are unintentional scams. They have good intentions, yet terrible execution. And then we have another ocean of campaigns which are designed to scam you. People will steal other products, prototypes, repackage them, throw in all their marketing lingo, and pocket $200,000. Some would actually design a product and make some convincing demos to lure backers, and list some scientific jargon, even though the technology didn't work or was even impossible. Even if you might think, of course these would be scams, they would be real enough to scam some people. Kickstarter was full of these, which reveals another problem. Sometimes these scams or logistical failures will pass their goal, so even if backers lose money and spend potentially years waiting, Kickstarter still gets their kickback of 5%. The Coolist cooler, even as a colossal disaster, likely made Kickstarter $1 million in fees. Kickstarter was profiting from backers who got their products and those who got scammed. While they did try to take these down, it didn't seem to matter to them that much. But now, that's coming to bite them back. Trust for Kickstarter was deteriorating. People aren't coming back to Kickstarter. They've either been scammed themselves or heard enough horror stories to scare them away. And where do we find this? In the amount pledged. By 2017, Kickstarter's growth was essentially flat, about $650 million per year. But in 2020, during the pandemic, that jumped to 770, then to over 800 in 2021. Then things began to sour for Kickstarter. After the pandemic, Kickstarter's total backing began to drop for the first time to 730 million. By 2024, it dropped again to 706 million. Kickstarter has stopped growing and is declining. They were even doing so in the late 2010s and just had a lucky boost thanks to the pandemic. The amount of total backers and repeat backers is also beginning to slow, but it gets worse. Remember, this is the pledged amount, not Kickstarter's revenue. On that 706 million, Kickstarter's actual revenue is about 35 million. Sounds like a lot, but for a company as far-reaching as Kickstarter, that's not much. In fact, their net profit only hovers around 1 to 2 million. Kickstarter as a brand very slowly became synonymous with scam. Now, let me be clear, I don't think Kickstarter is going away. It's still a great tool to crowdfund new products, especially in more customer-facing industries, and there are still great ones on there, some gaining millions in funding. But clearly, there were too many tech products that were never going to work, run by inexperienced people, or needed a bit more time in the oven. So it seems that Kickstarter's best days are behind us, but only time will tell. Another consumer company that exploded and died even faster is Wish.com. Check out this video to hear their story. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.